I want to turn to the Word this morning. And I think, sure, I don't know how you came in this morning. I really don't know how you came in. If you came in encouraged, maybe the Lord's been speaking to you, maybe the Lord's been touching your life. If you came in heavy-hearted, like just weighed down, maybe you've been weighed down through this week. Certainly the news and seeing what was happening in the Charlie Kirk situation, just it does grieve the heart. And I felt that, certainly, on Wednesday, I felt that. And, you know, a great man of God was taken from us, a great leader. And it just really, really sad to see the way the world is, you know, the kind of state that we're in. Some people kind of remark this is kind of like the 60s when there was so much violence and things being spread in college campuses and turmoil and all kinds of things that were happening and taking place. And it is topsy-turvy. And we remember that a revival was sparked in those days. A revival was sparked. And many, many, many people, young people, came to faith. So if I can do anything today, I kind of want to do some reminding. So maybe nothing profound here today, but I just want to remind us that God is on the throne. And his work's not done. And he's not done with us, the church. So just hang with me today. I think we have a few good reminders to lean into today. I'm going to start in John chapter 1. Very familiar verses. Verse 1. And I'm going to take a large chunk here to read because I just want us to hear these words this morning. And Lord God, let these words pierce our hearts. May they minister to us. May they work and move and remind us of who you are, Lord. And so, Lord God, let us hear these words this morning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Remind us of who you are today. Jesus has come into the world as a great light breaking into darkness. Isaiah tells us in chapter 9 that it's the light of the world came into a world of deep, deep darkness. And yet the light was great. And the light has shone amongst all humankind and has gone to the ends of the earth. Jesus. Jesus, full of grace and truth, has forever changed the world. It will never be the same. The world has rejected Christ. Those who chose darkness refused the light of Christ. But the good news is that all who call upon his name and trust their lives in him are saved. They're redeemed. They're children. We are children of God. Hallelujah. That's the good news we have. we recognize that today. We see it so clearly. There's a great battle going on. There's the kingdom of darkness, and there's the kingdom of light, and there is an ongoing battle taking place. We live in the midst of that battle. The darkness hates the truth of Christ, and hates the authority of Christ because he's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He sits on the throne. He is sovereign above all. And there are those who will not bow their knee, who refused, and who are not happy about the authority that Christ bears. But those, the Bible tells us, those in darkness who love their sin, they stay in darkness and they try to extinguish the light. You know, the light of Christ exposes our deeds, exposes our sin, exposes our wickedness. And there are those who want to not be exposed because they want to hold on to their sin. The truth of Christ shows sin for what it really is. The light of Christ, in the light of Christ, nothing can be hidden. No sin, no deception. Because there is no deception in Christ. There's only truth. Full of truth, full of grace is he. He is pure in all his ways. The truth of Christ does not change. It has not changed just because we're in the 21st century and we think we're pretty amazing and we can do all kinds of things. God's given us some intelligence. He's given us some ability. We can make robots who can stand here and talk to us and act like us. But they are not like us and they are not us. But we have not reached a point of moral purity. And the truth of Christ has not changed. What was true yesterday is true today. What has been true, because God is unchanging. Now, people over thousands of years have tried to alter the truth, have tried to alter the truth of Christ and tried to diminish him or even ignore him or just erase him out of history. But the witness of Christ stands today. It shines for all the world to see. And evil cannot manipulate the Word of God, though it tries, and though it does have some successes at times, the Word of Christ persists. The truth of Christ goes out to the whole world. The light of Christ can never be extinguished. Trust in that Word. Trust when the Word tells you that the light of Christ cannot be extinguished, no matter what evil tries to do. And evil has tried many, many ways and many, many times to snuff out the light of Christ. But ultimately, their attempts fail. Hear that today. Ultimately, their attempts fail. You know, we're all invited to come to know the light of Christ. Those who refuse and those who don't, those who receive. But that's the calling, to come into the light. Let nothing be hidden. Let nothing in your life be hidden. Let there be no, allow no darkness in your own life. Because Christ says, bring it out. There's nothing so horrible. There's nothing so bad. There's nothing that you've done that you can say, oh, I could certainly not be forgiven of this, or I certainly couldn't tell another believer about this. But God says, no. Your salvation and your redemption is total. It's everything. It's all of you. Every bad thing you've done, every wrong thing that you've said, how you've treated people, how you've hurt people, and the hurts that have been done to you. God redeems us fully. So leave nothing in the dark. That's the calling for us today. Leave nothing in the dark. And even our healing is also with each other, confessing one to each other the things of darkness that have been allowed, that we've allowed a space for our lives, but we're saying no. We're bringing it into the light and let the light of Christ do a work in our lives. Those who know their sinfulness and call out to our Savior, who bring it into the light, they find grace. That's what you'll find. you will find grace, because that's what God brings. He gives us grace upon grace to live a life fully redeemed. Never allow sin to have a place in your life. Sin draws people to darkness. It does. When we harbor it, when we allow it, when we feed it, it grows. It grows. And it can lead us to places in sinfulness that we never thought possible. It's amazing. But in the dark depravity of humanity, people can do things that are pretty awful, pretty terrible. But it's the corruption of sin working in mankind, in the hearts of men. And God says, bring it into the light. Bring the worst darkness into the light, and let Christ shine his light and bring his truth and bring redemption. You know, I believe there's grace for the killer of Charlie Kirk. I really do. There's grace. There's a place for him to repent. Now, I'm not the one making those decisions, but I believe that, because I've seen it before, people who've done horrific things. And yet, there were some, having done horrific things, who have found the throne of grace and knew the redemption of Christ. God forgave them for the worst of the worst things. There are those who hate the light, and they allow themselves to be engulfed by wickedness. They hate what is righteous, holy, and pure. They hate the authority of God over heaven and earth and all who are under God's authority. If they hate God, they hate us. They hate you, they hate me. I mean, it's just, if we bear the name of Christ, and that's what we do, we bear the name of, we're Christians, we bear the name of Christ. And people refuse the authority of God. They refuse to accept God as their ultimate authority and judge over their lives. They stand opposed to the truth that would give them freedom. But again, Jesus showed the way. He became a bridge for us. Always remember your redemption. Because as we are redeemed, God is still redeeming people today. Even those presently opposed to him. We must remember that some Sauls become Pauls. You know, Saul persecuted the church. He was there saying, yes, kill him. I approve. We need to get rid of this, these people who believe that this person, Jesus, is the Messiah. We need to pray for the Sauls today. Those who are even religious, full of religion, but they don't know Jesus. They don't know the Christ who saves. We need to pray for the Sauls that they would become Pauls and they would bear the name of Christ throughout the whole world. Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And that does not change. It does not change with the terrible news of this assassination. It doesn't change. Jesus has won the victory over sin and death. The victory is final. It is done. It is complete. And Charlie's with the Lord in heaven. He's enjoying his time, his new calling. You know, all those who surrender themselves to God and call upon his name as Lord and Savior, they also, we today, share in the victory over sin and death. You see, we have to know where we stand. We stand by the cross. We stand where there's victory. He's risen, and we have victory today. Romans 8, 1 through 2, it says this very clearly, and hear this today. For whatever you feel on the inside of you, the Bible says there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So through Christ, we've been set free. See, the law of sin and death convicts us, and it shows us to be guilty, but it is Christ who has set us free from the verdict of guilty. He set us free. And he took our place. And he received the penalty upon himself. But today, understand, there is no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. You know, we may live in a world where the spirit of the Antichrist is very present. And there's much stuff. All we have to do is watch the news and hear what's being spoken. And a lot of negative things. A lot of negative things. There's a spirit of the Antichrist in this world. People who are even spewing things, they don't even know what spirit they're of. They don't know what spirit they're of when they, oftentimes they operate in hate towards Christ or towards believers. They often don't know what spirit they're of. But even as evil is being stirred up against faithful believers, God has made a promise to us. He's made a promise to the church, to you and I. He's made a promise. Jesus said it very clearly in Matthew. He said this about his church as he was speaking to Peter, but he was speaking about the whole church as Peter confesses Jesus as the Messiah. He says this, he says, I will build my church. I will build my true ecclesia. And the gates of hell will not overpower it. That's a promise. That's a promise in Scripture that we've been given. So though we may see evil rear its ugly head, and maybe we can see what evil has done, and we can see, especially in the last several weeks, just things very demonic in nature, we also understand that God, in the midst of all of this, is prevailing, and the church will prevail. The true ecclesia will prevail. And in fact, because we have victory in Christ, we will overcome. We will overcome the enemy and all that the enemy tries to do against us. Understand, God is our advantage over evil. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. It says, you belong to God, my dear children. You belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in this world. Do you know that today? Do you know that Christ Jesus, who lives in you, is greater? Is greater than all the evil, the spirit of this world. The victorious Spirit of God lives within us. So crucial. It's so crucial that we walk with Jesus. We talk with Him. We have fellowship with the Spirit of God. We know the Spirit in us. And when we feel down and when we feel disheartened, we call upon the name of Jesus. And in the midst of being with Jesus, He strengthens us. And he allows hope to rise up in us. And He shows us who He is and what He can do. It's so important to walk close with God in these days, these times of trouble. It's so important. And it's so important that we encourage one another. So crucial. The Bible's clear that as we proclaim Christ, we will face trouble, okay? We will face hardship, and we will be reviled. John 15, Jesus tells us very clearly. He says, do you remember what I told you? He's just reminding the disciples. He's reminding them. He's saying, a slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would also listen to you. They will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. So, we will have suffering, right? We will have hardships. We will have difficulties. We will face things like we face this week. And I believe, that there is more to come. There is more evil working its way in our society. But understand this, there are great triumphant days now and ahead for the church of Jesus Christ. Those things that the evil will try to do to get our attention in all the wrong places, those things, yes, they're the worst that the enemy can do, but they will not overcome the church. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, if we keep our calling sure, if we keep walking by the Spirit, we will prevail. We will overcome. Death has been defeated. And the enemy, we know, has a sure destination. And that is where he is going in the end times. He's a defeated foe. Understand, he's a defeated foe. Ken gave us a great scripture this morning. It wasn't part of my sermon, but I thought about that. It's like we overcome our enemy, our adversary. We win victory by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, the truth, the word, the truth of God. We overcome, and we need to lean in hard on what we have, who we have, our relationship with Christ, the Spirit of God to strengthen us. Because we will need to be strengthened as we see things that are very discouraging. So our instruction as the church of Christ, and I want us to hear this today, is that we're to operate in a much different spirit than the spirit of this world. The spirit in which we operate in, we refuse to be drawn into bickering, name-calling, hurling stones, assassinating characters. We need to expose what is evil, okay? The light exposes evil. That is true. But we cannot operate in the same spirit as the world. If we operate in the same spirit as the world, we're just like the world. And that's not giving glory to God. We don't glorify God if we operate in the same spirit of this world, and we lose our focus. We lose our focus on our higher calling and our purpose and our relationship with God, because that's where we always go. We always stay in Christ. That's where we stay, our eyes on him, and let him lead us, okay? We talked about last week, don't allow fear to keep you from God's destiny in your life. Don't allow fear to keep you from walking through the valley of the shadow of death, because we sometimes get so afraid of the shadows. We got to say, no, God, we are not going to be afraid, because you're going to lead us through the valleys. So we need to know our instructions as we see evil in this world. We don't operate by the spirit of this world. We operate by the Spirit of God. That's what we're to do. We're to operate by the Spirit of God, and we're to spread the aroma of Christ wherever we go. When you enter buildings, you should be spreading the aroma of Christ, right? It's not the perfume you wear on your body. It's the perfume emanating, coming, radiating from your soul, from your spirit. Tell somebody Jesus loves them. Tell a stranger. Tell somebody. Let joy impact in your life, impact others, or encourage somebody who's downcast. Sometimes even our own discouragement, we need to find the encouragement of Christ and encourage others. So we're to live out our faith. You see, the events this week should never cause us to retreat, but actually should cause us to raise the standard higher and to carry it into the public sphere. To live our faith out in public in very tangible, real ways. Some of that is just how we treat each other. Because how we treat each other is also a witness to the world. Because if they don't know how to love each other, well, we need to be a witness. Say, no, this is the love of Christ. This is what the love of Christ does in me. This is a witness in me. And even what we would do for others, to bless others and do things that sometimes take people by surprise. Romans chapter 12 gives us instructions for how we're to live and how we're to face the enemy in times of darkness. It gives us clear instructions. It says this, it says our love, the love of Christ in us, it must be sincere. Hate what is evil, despise it, abhor it. but cling to what is good. See, the focus is cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Wow, church, that's not easy. Bless and do not curse. Can you pray for your enemies today? Can you pray for those who revile you, who think lowly of you, who when they say your name, they laugh, they mock? Those people, the people who treat you like dirt or have in the past, the people that you don't want to talk to, really not. We all have those people. Can you pray for them? God bless them. God open their eyes. God let the light shine into their darkness. Reveal yourself to them. That they would know you as Lord and Savior. It's important for your spirit to bless those and don't curse. It's important for the aroma of Christ in you that we operate in blessing and love. Verse 17, pick back up in Romans 12, verse 17, jump a little bit further down. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me read that one more time. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's a word for the church today, for the body of Christ. We need to hear those words. You know, when evil rears its ugly head, sometimes the tendency is hide, to run, to stay quiet. But don't let evil overcome us. Don't let it overcome you. But instead, Lord, how can I serve you today? How can I let the goodness of God in my life, through my life, impact the world around me? How can I love somebody today? How can I make a difference today? What can I do to shine your light, Lord? Because I'm not going to allow this to go hide the light of Christ. I'm not going to put a bushel over. I'm not going to cover it up. But we're going to hold it high. I mean, I love to see when the church comes together and we pray and we worship and we continue to give God glory even in the midst of hardship. So, boy, we need to do that today. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who slander the name of Christ, who speak all kinds of evil about Christians, about us. We need to be careful because we don't want to get too caught up in too much focus upon evil and what people are saying out there. And some people are saying some pretty awful things. But I don't want to focus too much on that. I see it, I hear it, okay, but I'm not going to live in that because some of that stuff can be upsetting and it can hinder my focus, really. Because I can get mad at people who are not only insensitive, but just wicked. But isn't that the world? Isn't that the spirit of the Antichrist? When we hear people say just some of the most awful things? I don't want to focus. I don't want that to be my focus. Instead, I need to focus on a calling. I need to focus on what's right and good. I need to focus on what God is doing in the world today. Again, Jesus came into this world full of grace and truth, and that Spirit of God, that work of God, the light of Christ is working today. And we, see, Jesus had the calling to come into an evil world, to share the light. But we have this calling today. We have this calling to know him and to let him be known in all the world. You know, revival is taking place in the world today. I don't know how much you read those headlines. Do you read those headlines as well? God is at work today. His light is shining brightly. We could talk about college campuses, right, where Charlie Kirk was killed by a 22-year-old who has some college, kind of college age. He's doing some, has done college work. And we think that, we sometimes will think that generation, they don't know Jesus. But do you know revival's happening on college campuses today? I just want to look at some headlines. And these are just some headlines. These are some headlines I could find. But these aren't, by all means, these are not all the headlines. So, yeah, let's switch over. Okay, we're going to go through a few headlines today. Commitment to Jesus hits 12-year high in the U.S., signaling a spiritual awakening, 2025. Okay, we're going to come back to this. This is out of a Barna survey. Barna is well known for keeping a beat, a pulse on the church. Okay, next one. Do we have that down arrow? Just a down arrow on the computer? Yes. Nearly 2,000 students at Ohio State give their hearts to Christ in one night. And by the way, there's been revival services that started also in the fall, because I just heard about it in the fall of the football. Members of the football team led another revival on campus, and they were baptizing people, calling people to Christ, coming to salvation, and baptizing people right there on campus. 5,000 students seek Jesus at West Virginia University. Nearly 1,000 respond to the altar call, life-changing salvation. 2025. Jesus met us there. Massive revival moment as 10,000 seek Jesus at the University of Arkansas. And people came to that event from campuses all around Arkansas in the South. They came to be a part of that event. People getting baptized. But not just college campuses. We also hear about this. 7,751 people were baptized at an event in Southern California this weekend. Some of the events by Greg Laurie and other churches that have come together and done mass baptisms out in the ocean even. And this is not the only one. That was not the only one as far as events and mass baptisms. They're continuing. New research says belief in Jesus rises, fueled by younger adults. Okay, is God forsaken the young generation? No, he's not. He's moving in the young generation. There's some things that have been happening underground. Like it's almost like been in the dirt. But it's been ruminating, it's been growing, and now it has been coming up and is bearing fruit. There are things that are happening in younger generations. And when I'm saying college campuses, I just mentioned like three college campuses. But the reality is there's many other college campuses. This goes back to when the Asbury Revival in 2023. And now really people have been saying that revival has been taken to many campuses, many secular campuses, as a movement started at Auburn University about a year and a half ago, where they just did big events on campus. And in that event, they were baptizing people in the fountain on campus, or in the lake. There was a lake on the Auburn campus. And they were baptizing people in the lake. And those events have continued, and this group has just gone, or go back. Yeah, this group has been going from campus to campus to campus. And if you look on, oh my goodness, I'm going blank on the name of the organization, but they have more to come, as they just went to Oklahoma University. And now they're going to North Carolina State University. And there's four events they're upcoming. So again, they're going campus to campus, big, large, major, secular campuses. Do you think God is up to something? Do you think the devil is furious? Do you think the devil is angry? Yes, he is. Because he's seeing his influence on the younger generations starting to crumble. Next. This is Barna State of the Church 2025 Barna Research. New Barna study shows initiative showing a groundswell of commitment to Jesus over the last 4 years. 66% of U.S. adults say they have made a personal commitment to Jesus, and it's still important in their life today. That marks a 12% point increase since 2021. Now, they're saying 2021 was a low point, was a real low point right after, or right in the midst of, all the COVID stuff. But the shift, interestingly enough, statistically, it's a clear indication of meaningful spiritual renewal in the United States, as it had bottomed out at 54% in 2021, 2022. And since then, it's been a steady year-over-year increase. Now, I think there's one more. Yes. And here's the thing. Gen Z and millennials, the young generation, fuel the turn to Jesus. Amongst the biggest drivers of Jesus' resurgence are younger generations, particularly Gen Z and millennials. This is a significant change from previous Barna tracking, which showed that the elders and boomers as more committed Christians than younger generations. But since the pandemic, however, millennials and Gen Z have shown significant increases in commitment to Jesus, while boomers and Gen X have remained mostly flat in their commitment levels to Jesus. So basically no growth. So where is the growth happening in the church? It's in the younger generations. It's millennials, it's Gen Z, it's the college campuses. And if you look at the data, the Barna Research, and you just look that up, the numbers that are growing fastest are young men. It's growing among young women too, but young men are far outpacing the young women in these generations. God is stirring up people. He's stirring up revival in our land. And so pray, pray. Yes, Lord, more. More, God. Yes, sweep this young generation. Sweep it with the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we prepare ourselves for mass baptisms. May the church open up its doors, because there is an issue, because, you know, so many people are coming to Christ and they're saying, we see evidence of a lot of people who've never come to Christ. They're not just coming back to church, they've never been to church. And some of these people, and it says also if you read the data, some of these people are a little bit hesitant about the church. They're hesitant about organized religion. They love Jesus, they read about Jesus in the Bible, but they're not sure about those people who go to church. We need to embrace them. We need to welcome them in. We need to say, this is a place for you to grow in Christ, not to become religious, not to become static in your faith. You know what helps young believers? To be around older believers who are still growing in their faith. There's nothing worse for a young believer to come into a church where it's just static and nobody's growing. And it was like it was. People aren't any more mature 20 years down the road than they were 20 years ago. So the church has to be alive. The body of Christ has to be alive and vibrant and full of faith and saying, you are welcomed here and this is a place to grow. This is a family of God for you to heal, for you to transform, for you to be conformed into the image of Christ, for you to be discipled, for you to be loved, for you to have a family. So the church must be alive because God is doing something today. So we must be aware that, yes, evil is showing its ugly head, but we are in the days of revival. And maybe be very aware. You know, how did Jesus handle evil? And this is my last point. He stayed on mission. He stayed on his mission. That's what he did. He did not revile when he was reviled, and he was reviled many times. He stayed on mission, meaning he did the Father's will. He stayed focused. You know, when even John the Baptist was killed, was murdered by political authorities of his day, okay? He was hated. I mean, he called out sin of people in power, and he was hated for that. But this didn't stop the mission that Jesus had. If you remember, they took time away. They got away. They tried to get away from the crowds, to take some time to themselves, to mourn, to grieve. This was hard. I mean, this hit the disciples. This hit everybody hard. They took time away, but the mission continued. It didn't stop. And so we see the light of Christ continued and broke into the darkness. And we see Jesus taught against evil. He warned about the influence of wicked people. Jesus rebuked evil. He cast out evil. He spoke with authority against evil. And he healed and did miracles that countered the works of evil. Jesus ministered and brought the kingdom of God into the world, into a world full of evil. So his mission continued. And the kingdom of God grew exponentially. So we have a mission today. The mission has not changed. For 2,000 years, it has not changed. To spread his kingdom, to draw people to Christ in the midst of living in a dark world where there's darkness around us. You know, there's wickedness, there's depravity, great depravity. But Christ is shining through all this. So we don't lose our mission in the midst of all that. And may we actually become more bold and more courageous to present the truth of Christ in this world. Many, many, many are being saved. Just look at the revivals again that are happening on college campuses. Many, many thousands are coming to Christ, and many more will. So that's the word today. Stay on mission. Be encouraged in the Lord. Revival is taking place. And God can use you, and he can use me. He can use us. We don't have to stand on a stage before thousands of people. But what if it's just sharing with one? Don't ever undervalue the sharing with one. The love of God, the light of Christ. So that's our call. Let's take it with us as we leave here today and shine our lights, the light of Christ, brightly. Amen. Amen.